Welcome to Business Game Changers, where you'll hear expert tips on the big issues and the hottest trends to level up your business game. If you're building a career or building a business, this is Must Hear Radio. Here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. The network marketing industry, or MLM for short, has grown by over 90% over the last 10 years. The size of the market really is huge. At $100 billion in sales last year alone, it is over 56 million people in over 100 countries participating some way in this industry. And the industry is still growing. Entrepreneurs have figured out that this business model is an inexpensive and fast way to bring products to the market. And if done well, it can be a lucrative moneymaker for the owners and the early distributors of the company. But things are not all rosy. Most of the money earned goes to the owners and the early distributors, and the hordes of distributors signing on later end up losing. For these people, it can really be a disaster. They need to treat the opportunity in the right context. While there is always a chance that new distributors will make a profit, almost none of them do. In fact, 99.7% failure rate is common across the industry. Most people lose money and will ultimately quit along the way. While the business model is sold to people as a solid business opportunity, this really is not the case. In this economy, people are really looking for additional sources of income and are buying into these opportunities in large numbers. Today's show will take a look at this industry. We'll discuss the numbers and also show people how to approach these opportunities. We'll be talking with Dr. John Taylor, who is the current president of the Consumer Awareness Institute. Hi, John. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, I'm happy to join you.
Well, good. I've been really looking forward to this conversation. I've been reading about multi-level marketing companies for a while, and with the economy the way it is, people are looking for different ways to add income to, you know, for their families, and a lot of people are relying on MLMs or multi-level marketing companies to help them with that. And so I think it's a real timely issue to discuss these types of companies and the good and the bad and the ugly with them, and kind of get a lowdown on what they're about. And you being an expert in this arena, I really wanted to ask you those questions. You're one of the foremost experts as far as putting together real research behind this. Can you give our audience a little bit of information about your background and, you know, your education and so forth?
Sure. I started out in the more routine business. In fact, I started out working for IBM after I had got my MBA degree with training in finance and accounting and statistics and all those kinds of things that are helpful in this kind of business arena. And while I was working for IBM, my first wife became critically ill and shortly passed away, leaving me with two children, two small children.
I'm sorry about that.
I didn't want to leave them. I wanted to work from home so that I could be with them. And so I became an advocate for what you might call home businesses. And I, in fact, I got into it very, very intensively, researching the whole market for home businesses.
So you're an expert on home businesses too. So we got to talk about that at some point.
Yeah. I taught college classes part time on entrepreneurship and on business ethics, and I consulted with people, helped them start businesses. I personally started over 47 businesses.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and so I didn't enjoy running them. I just liked starting them. And so
that's why the 47 number, right? I said that's why the 47 number. I'm going to start it and then throw
correct.
It over the wall.
I was what you'd call a serial entrepreneur. I didn't like running them, and so if it was successful, I sold out. If it wasn't, I had three or four waiting in the wings. And that went on for years. And I went back to get my, after I remarried, I went back to get my PhD in applied psychology, so I had the additional background of incentives and other things that apply to compensation plans in industry. At any rate, I was heavily recruited into multi-level marketing in 1994, and I told him no. The company happened to be New Skin. I told him no, definitely four times. I just thought it was a pyramid scheme, and it didn't strike me as a legitimate business that like those I've been involved in. And so at one point they put so much pressure on me, telling me that I, with my background contacts, I could easily make $750,000 a year inside of 2 years. Well, finally, I just made a decision. First of all, I couldn't find any good research on the subject, so I decided that I would give it a try. I would test the concept for a year. I'd give it my all, and if I made that kind of income, I could live on it. If, on the other hand, I didn't, and it proved to be a scam as I thought it was, I'd tell the world about it.
So how did that work out?
Well, what happened was I got into it. I drank the Kool-Aid. I really became a believer. However, I need to tell you that where I normally was very careful in watching my finances, I just let them go and just got caught up in this recruitment craze. And finally, at one point, after about a year, my wife said to me, "Okay, it's New Skin or me, take your pick." And that's what started all this for me. I stepped back because I loved my wife, didn't want to lose her, and it was affecting all our relationships because everybody within 3 feet was a prospect. And so she had good grounds for challenging me, and I stepped back to ask myself what was really happening, and I realized that that this was not a good way to treat our close relationships for me to be recruiting them into this business. I stepped back and did what I called an ethical analysis. I read the Bible. I have to be an LDS or Mormon. I read the Book of Mormon. I read some of the great books, and I pulled together what I called a treatise on true wealth. What is true wealth? I wrote a book called The Network Marketing Game, which on the ethics of multi-level marketing, and I basically concluded in a book that it was not a moral business. You're recruiting friends and family for personal gain and some of the other problems. So I wrote the book, and it got quite a lot of attention here.
Did it get good attention, do you think? Or did
it got great reviews, and I also got it. Hate mail from all over.
I'm sure, yeah. Anytime you're going to stir up anything that's negative about something where people are making a lot of money, or if people are very, very attached to it, which, like you said, you got it really attached to it. So people who are in that mindset, they're going to have a lot of anger towards anything
Another thing that happened is that I decided it was time to be honest with myself, and I hadn't been keeping serious track of my finances. And when I got it all together, I realized it was actually, if I was honest about all the expenses and the purchases and everything, I was actually losing $1,000 a month, even though I was the top 1% of distributors.
Don't you think this is a little off the subject, but don't you think entrepreneurs in general kind of get sucked into that mindset once in a while? They don't track their finances and they...
No, not in my experience. There may be some, but in my experience, I was always very careful about that. Maybe that's because of my background. But what I'm saying is I suspended my best judgment when I did this business and got caught up in this culture of deception and self-deception where I thought I was being successful. As I say, I was top 1% in the hierarchy. However, I was losing $1,000 a month. And so I decided...
So why do you think that you, being somebody who usually kept very tight control of your finances when you're doing a business adventure, why in this particular event was it different for you?
Well, and that's part of my story, is that I realize now that I had, if you will, I had drunk deeply of the Kool-Aid, this culture of deception where you're in denial about what's really happening. So I was out speaking to a group of people, and I was promoting my book. And one person raised his hand and says, I'm one of the principals of H&R Block in this area of the country. And he says, how come it is with all the thousands of tax returns that nobody ever reports a profit on these things?
Well, so it gave you an idea?
Oh, yeah. I thought, oh, my gosh, has nobody ever looked at the numbers? And that's when I began serious research on the profitability. Before I was done, I'd interviewed almost 300 tax accountants, and I knew who was making the money. I even went so far and it was just a handful of people at the top, of course. And I also being in Utah, next to Nevada, I even interviewed or got a hold of some people from the Nevada Gaming Commission and Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas to get the odds of winning at different games of chance in Las Vegas, and I found that the odds of winning at a single throw of the dice and craps in Las Vegas was dozens of times as great as the odds of...
Your research showed even if you really were adamant about tracking your expenses, your costs, you became really creative on running a MLM distributorship, most people still lose money, even doing all the different tricks and things.
Oh, yes, definitely. And the way I've done that is I've actually over a period of, I should give you a little more background about what happened in my research. I decided to do what I call a comparative analysis between multi-level marketing and all other forms of business activity, especially home businesses and direct selling. And I found that there were some things that stood out that were clearly separated multi-level marketing from all other forms of small business. And those were the endless chain of recruitment, a whole network of endless chains of recruitment, the assumption that there's an infinite market, which of course doesn't exist in the real world, and the assumption that there's a virgin market, which cannot exist for long. And so, and then also the only way you can advance in these programs is through recruitment. There's a significant pay-to-play feature. You have to buy products on an ongoing basis to qualify for commissions and advancement. And then, of course, the biggest thing is they're all top-weighted. The commissions programs are structured to reward those at the top of the pyramid.
So there's multiple people that are involved in MLM. There's the owners of the MLM. There's the first people in at an MLM, and then there's the later people in at an MLM.
That's right. And the founders, they typically skim something off of all the sales, so they make a lot of money.
It would be, you know, some of the stuff I've read about a business model, you know, if you're the owner, you have rights to the product, it's your product, or most of the time it's just you have rights to a product. You know, what I've seen in my research is businesses are finding that it's a really fast, inexpensive way to get their product to market, to customers,
right.
And it's actually really a lucrative business model for people. And is that what your research is showing? Now, we're zooming out and looking at more the business owners.
Right, that's definitely true. The business owners don't have to worry about marketing costs. I mean, that's huge.
So from that standpoint, it's an attractive business. That's why we see so many of them. Now, the next phase of the people are the early in people. And what is the success rate of people who get involved really early on?
Well, the very first ones in who secure a place at the top of the pyramid realize the substantial residual income from all those people downline from them.
So all the claims... I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. All the claims that are used later are based on those people.
That's exactly right. And virtually everybody else that comes in later is being sold a ticket on a flight that's already left the ground.
So how long is it before that converts, it changes? So the first people in are doing pretty well, and then is it possible to do well if you're not one of the first in?
Very extremely unusual. In any given market, those who lock a position at the top, and I'm talking about the same company might go to another country and they might set up somebody right at the beginning. Usually it's somebody, one of the original founders, and then everybody else comes in later believing they can get rich like that person at the top, but it's simply not true. So, Mike, in answer to your question, when does it cease to be profitable, I would say... probably on about day two.
but it's basically the first row of the pyramid, the third row of the pyramid. I suppose it kind of depends, but basically go ahead.
I should tell you that the classic no product pyramid scheme, you got one person who recruits two people, and they recruit two, and they recruit two, so you have 14 people under the one at the top. It matures, and then the person top walks away with all the money, and then they start a new pyramid. That's the classic pyramid. But in multi-level marketing, it's much more complicated than that. So you may have many pyramids. It really is not just a pyramid. It's a mega pyramid of pyramid schemes. And so you might have several people at the top of the various pyramids. And then, of course, they reach a point of saturation in a given area. They go somewhere else, and then they go to other countries. Nu Skin, for example, when they reached achieved what they could in this country, they went to Asia, and 85% of their business was in Asia. And Amway did essentially the same thing. They went overseas, and then they set up another company here called Quickstar, and now they're back to Amway again. So there's a process I call re-pyramiding when they've reached a point of near saturation or market saturation.
In my experience, some people are pretty adamant that they don't belong to an MLM. It's a direct sales, direct marketing company. It's they have all these other names for it, but I know people who are distributors or salespeople, or I don't know, they have different names for them. In Mary Kay, Melaleuca, and Arbonne, those three in particular, where if you claim that they're an MLM, people get pretty angry with you, and they don't think they're MLMs. In your experience, are those companies MLMs?
Oh, for sure. But let me explain something to you that will explain their motivation. And the best way that I can describe this is, let's suppose that you're a farmer and you raise pigs and horses for sale. And you get a lot more money for horses than for pigs. So you attach some horse hairs on the behinds of your pigs and march them into the horse corral and sell them as horses. Now they're no longer pigs. They're horses, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Right? Unless you can see through the fact that there's just a little bit of hairs or a horse hair on the pig. Okay, I'll stay with you.
This is exactly what happened. The people in multi-level marketing, when they were accused of being pyramid schemes, they didn't like that, of course. Then they changed to multi-level marketing, and they tried network marketing. And what happened was that some of them joined the Direct Selling Association, and direct selling itself was really a dead activity. I mean, there were very few people who go door-to-door after the Internet and the discount stores and so forth. So they began to join the Direct Selling Association because it sounded more legitimate. So they rebranded themselves as Direct Selling, but if you look at their compensation plan, they're not legitimate direct salespeople. They're multi-level marketing. They're pyramids. There's no question about that.
Well, can you talk a little bit about Mary Kay? Because women, there's a lot of women that really like Mary Kay's makeup. The price for Mary Kay is reasonable when you compare it to department store prices. Women are always switching their makeup brands, so there's a lot of endless customers for beauty, because beauty is the largest industry in the world. In fact, during the Great Depression, $1 out of $3 were still spent on beauty, and it's one of the only industries that predictably rise during a recession. So, you know, Mary Kay has a good base of customers they can tap into, but they also do some things like they provide makeup parties for or not parties, but they'll do like makeup for wedding parties before a wedding. They'll bring in teenagers and do makeup tutorials for people. So they have extra services that they do for people. Now, how I could see, you know, I'm struggling with this whole concept a little bit, because I could see how Mary Kay could actually be, there could be more to it than MLM.
Well, I'm going to talk about three companies together that are doing essentially the same thing.
Okay,
Mary Kay, Avon, and Tupperware. Those three companies were considered legitimate direct selling companies for decades. And what happened was, I think partly because of the competition from the MLM companies, and I'm going to call them MLM, they gradually transformed into a more hardcore multi-level marketing organization. That's true of Tupperware, Mary Kay, and Avon. So they began to develop now, particularly Tupperware and Avon. They just developed this strong recruitment-driven marketing program where you make money from sale of products, but yes, you can make even far more money by recruiting a downline of people and getting commissions from them. And just recently, I should tell you that Avon pulled out of the Direct Selling Association, claiming they didn't agree with their code of ethics, and they're trying to brand themselves as different from the typical MLM. And Tupperware and Mary Kay have tried to do the same thing. But if you look at their compensation plans and the endless chains of recruitment and the top-weighted pay plans, they're essentially the same as other MLMs.
And do their numbers look the same? When you look at Mary Kay's published numbers, are they the same as Amway or Nu Skin?
If you can get the numbers, you have to, what they provide, you have to look beneath the surface. And, of course, this is where my financial background is very helpful, to debunk the deceptions that are inherent in all of their promotional materials. It's not explicit. For example, anybody that's dropped out, they don't count them in their numbers, in their averages. They don't count expenses, products that they have to buy. They just would have you believe that everything that's brought in is money, is profits, which it's not. And they will count in their statistics those people who have been with them for decades, and they'll drop everybody that they'll take out of the statistics.
So if you mean basically, if somebody drops out that year, they're not included in the statistics of...
That's exactly right.
With so many people dropping out before a year is up, they get to drop out a huge part of their bad numbers.
Let's talk 5 years. After 5 years, 95% are gone. And so
let's say that 30% drop out there. Well, I would say the majority, probably over half, drop out the first year, and then the next, over the next 4 years, it's, a smaller percentage.
Yeah. Right.
So they get to cut out 50%. I'm just guessing here. I don't know. But a huge percentage of their bad numbers. I don't think they get to. They are.
Well, what should happen is that they should take everybody over a period of time, everybody that's tried the program, and use that as their base for calculating the averages. But they don't. Those people that are at the top, that have been there for even decades, they're figuring the statistics. So if you took everybody over a five-year period and you include everybody that tried the program, you would have probably close to 99.9% of participants dropped out. Or lost money, I should say, lost money after you subtract all their expenses.
Well, there are a couple of companies that, I really like their products. Like I use the, people are going to laugh, but I use those body wraps from It Works because they actually work on me. I mean, it really works. It's funny, but some people it really works and it does work on me. And I try to look for other products they have in Europe. They sell them in high-end spas and different places, and they're really expensive. So it's a decent price product. The other product that I like is Nerium has a face cream that really works on me. And I know it doesn't work on everybody, but it really works on me. And I looked into their marketing, and if you just wanted to buy their product, or if you were a distributor and you just sold a little bit and you didn't think about becoming rich and all you want to do is get your products paid for, if you sell the product monthly to three people, then you get your product paid for every month you have three people buying. So in that way, once you establish some loyal customers, you could potentially, it could not be bad for you if you look at it more to just help pay for your own product. What do you think about that?
Oh sure. If you look at MLM as a buyer's club, it's just a way of getting your products and paying. It really is a pay more buyer's club.
It's like the only way you can look at it as a positive is okay. You're getting into a buyer's club and really have your expectations in check.
That's correct. Yeah. And it's not a pay less, it's a pay more buyer's club. I actually did a study of pricing, comparing vitamins from supplements from MLM companies compared with those available in standard retail outlets. And they were five times as much. It cost five times as much on average as those you could get down at your local supermarket, comparable products.
So basically you have to, like Miriam, the one that I actually use it, to get a comparable product is really expensive. So they're actually, I think, less.
That's extremely unusual. Extremely unusual. They're almost always priced much higher, way higher.
So basically, in the majority of the cases, the prices are significantly higher, and you really need to do your homework, because to get in as a buy, even if you say, okay, I'm going to really pare down my expectations, and I'm going to look at it as a buyer's club, it's important to look at the prices and make sure that you're buying into something that is reasonable.
Well, the thing, though, that you need to be careful of is that's not the way it's sold. People are sold on the products, but then very soon the real motivation is to make money. And so it's a bogus business opportunity, really, that they're selling. They do have, many of them have good products, and I don't really quarrel over the products that are offered by these MLM companies. Some of them are very questionable, some of them are harmful, some of them are excellent, but that's not the point. The point is that as a business model, as a supposed business opportunity, it's bogus. It's bogus, that's for sure.
So I had a friend that had me go to this one company's presentation, and that's why I asked you, at what point does it become not profitable for the distributors? Because in their presentation, they showed how the average distributors are making, I mean, this was big money, and they presented their marketing materials as what the average distributors are making, like the average executive, you know, right. The first tier up was making $300, and then it went to jump to $700, and then jumped to $3,000, and then $16,000, and, you know, on and on. And they were comparing to other MLMs and saying, we make this monthly versus everybody else making this yearly. And then I went back and I pulled their actual numbers. And those numbers were literally from 2 years previous. So basically, I think those were numbers when the company was really exploding. And now their numbers were very comparable to everybody else's, where 99% of the people weren't making any money. But what really disturbed me about that was the people that were doing the presentation knew what the current numbers were, but they were still presenting numbers from 2 years previously.
And they probably felt justified in doing that. What happens with these companies is that you're entering into a culture of deception because it is so unprofitable. They must of necessity deceive people to get them to join. And so I've identified on my website and in the books that I've written, I've identified over 100 deceptions that are typically used in multi-level marketing recruitment campaigns. And part of those are the way the numbers are presented. I've analyzed the numbers I've obtained from over 50 companies, and in every case, in one of those I found 20 deceptions on a single page. There's a book out called How to Lie with Statistics, and if you know understand the statistics well enough, you can organize them in such a way you can make almost anything look good. If you just leave out critical information that people need to, you know, for example, expenses, those that you mentioned, they wouldn't have mentioned expenses. And even though it may appear that somebody's bringing in $10,000 a month, they're really not making money if they're spending $15,000 a month.
Yeah, to do the marketing on it. So what are some of the things that you're seeing with how it affects their families and how it affects communities when people get involved?
Well, what happens, unfortunately, and it isn't just about making or not making money. What happens is you have this endless chain of recruitment, sort of. People are spending their social capital, if you will. So it divides families. The number of divorces amongst MLM participants is huge. And I've run into 7 suicides and 4 murders.
Oh, my gosh.
Related to MLM participation.
And how did you run into those? You were just...
These were just communications I received and also legal cases I've been involved in as an expert witness.
Wow.
And of course, you know, people could argue, well, that wasn't because of MLM, but they were heavily involved in MLM, and it was definitely impacting their relationships and their feelings about themselves, especially.
And why is that? Because they get, because the environment gets them.
Well, let's just suppose that you've recruited a whole downline of 1,000 people under you, and then you discover that it's a scam. You finally figure out it's a scam. Some people can't deal with that. We've had people that have really taken their life when they realize how many people they've hurt, and how many, and the number of divorces is huge. The number of families that have been just split up over this, it just goes on and on. And also, one of the greatest losses that occurs in MLM participation is that people with good ideas and good abilities squander their resources on this, and they spend all whatever money they do have. So instead of developing an honest, legitimate business, they wind up going deep into debt, and they'll probably never get into business again. Mm-hmm. And also, we find that a number of these people that have fallen for this easy money mentality, they can't ever work at an honest job again.
Why is that?
Well, because they have to work for what they.
Oh, you mean the ones that are at the top of the pyramid that do that?
No.
They get.
No, people.
Everybody,
no,
huh?
People at the bottom. People at the bottom who have been sold on this idea that if
oh, I see what you're saying.
People, they'll have money coming in. They'll have what's called residual income for the rest of their life, like an author or like an inventor. They're sold on that idea, and then the idea of working for what you get becomes an anathema to them.
So they just can't get past that idea. Huh, interesting. What?
Now, a lot of people get in that situation. Those are what I call MLM addicts. We call them MLM junkies. They go from one MLM to the other, hoping that they'll find the right one that will work for them. And then those people usually wind up in divorce. They lose their homes. They go bankrupt. It's not a pretty picture when they get into it that deeply.
Well, I've never been at an MLM convention, but I have seen videos of them and stuff. They seem pretty weird, being honest. They seem fairly cultish.
Yep.
What have you been to some of these conventions?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, and you're absolutely right. There's a culture that develops. An us versus them cultish type of mentality, and you know, that's exciting. You have a feeling of belonging. You have these people that you develop relationships with, and they're with you, and they're your best friends until you drop out, and then they don't know your name. So but that's typical of any cult.
Why can't people tell that they're part of a cult? Why can't they tell it's weird when you go to something and it's just. It's weird.
I need to explain a concept that occurs, and this is coming from the field of psychology. A psychologist by the name of Leon Festinger came up with studies on what he called a cognitive dissonance. And if I may just describe how that would happen, if you get a group of subjects to each pound 100 nails in a board, a very boring task, and then you pay one group $1 and the other group $20, then you ask them how they enjoyed the task, which one do you think would say that they enjoyed the task the most?
I would think the people who got paid more.
That's what most everybody thinks, but they invariably, just the opposite is true. Those who were paid $20 will say, well, I just get it for the money. Those who were paid $1 can't allow themselves that they did such a boring task for only $1, and they'll come up with reasons why they enjoyed the task, it was a great challenge, and they appreciated doing it, and so forth. So what happens in multi-level marketing is it is cognitive dissonance personified. These people get involved in it. From the bottom to the top, they engage in this culture of deception that justifies and rationalizes what they're doing to the point where they become believers. In fact, there was a film that came out recently called Believe, and it was a kind of a spoof of the MLM industry. And the people that, when you joined the company, you were a believer, but when you get to the top of the company, you were a true believer. It's obviously a spoof on the internet.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Interesting. So I want to get back to a couple other things that seem to be issues to me and would be red flags, I would think, is some of the pay-to-play issues where you have to pay to be a distributor. I would think that if you're selling a good, why would you have to pay to be a distributor? I mean, I could understand buying, you know, so like you do in a regular company, you need to buy the materials to sell something. But why do you have to pay to be the distributor if you're not getting anything in return? Do you know what I'm saying? The difference between buying the materials versus paying to be a distributor.
Well, let me explain something there. First of all, most of these companies, they're clever enough to avoid that trap. Instead of paying to be a distributor, you pay a small sign-up fee, maybe $50, so that it doesn't raise any red flags. But then in order to qualify for commissions or advancements in the scheme, you have to be buying a certain quota of products every month. That's the typical pattern, okay?
Well, I've seen some that you paid like $100 to be a distributor or $50 to be a distributor, whatever it is, and then you pay a monthly website fee, which they're charging now for a lot of these companies, which to me seems ridiculous.
And then
people have to pay like $30, $40 a year just to keep your distributorship on top of having a requirement of how much you have to buy each month.
Well, and there's what's called the tools business. Some of them, and Amway's big this way, some of them will require you to, the top distributors will require you to buy their tapes and their books and so forth and read them, listen to them, and they'll sell your websites and also they have regular opportunity meetings, training meetings, and so forth. So by the time you put out all that money for all those things, and some of them have rallies or they'll have conventions that are down in the West Indies somewhere. I would think
if you were going to, you know, because I built a multi-million dollar company. With the salespeople that I had, well, I paid them a salary, but let's say I was going to be just doing a commission-based sales team, you wouldn't be charging them a cent. If they're selling, you'd have certain requirements, but they wouldn't be paying you
that's
anything.
Right.
It's the other direction.
That's right. In legitimate direct selling, that's the case. And when I was going through college, I paid most of my expenses by selling World Book Encyclopedia, but I did not have to buy an encyclopedia in order to sell it. That's one big difference. And the other is that most of the commission went to me. I had a district supervisor, and there was somebody over him who got a small override on that. But with multi-level marketing, it's just the opposite. The person that is doing the selling gets a tiny commission. If he can sell it to somebody else, he gets something, but there's not enough margin because they're so expensive at wholesale that very, very few are sold to people who are not distributors. So basically, in multi-level marketing, the sellers are the buyers and the buyers are the sellers. They've erased the distinction between buyer and seller. And so you make your money by recruiting people and selling them on the income opportunity, and they have to buy the products in order to participate in the program.
Well, I think Melaleuca is adamant that they're not an MLM, but...
Which is absurd.
Well, I know, but they are. And I know somebody who sells Melaleuca, and she's a great person, but she's pretty adamant that it's not an MLM either. No. But, I know. But everyone who joins Melaleuca becomes a distributor. That's their whole plan. Everyone is. So if you buy from Melaleuca, you're also automatically part of their family. Which is kind of interesting. They don't even distinguish the difference.
Yeah. You cut out there for a minute. Could you ask that question again?
In the case of Melaleuca, everyone's a distributor. They don't even distinguish the difference. In order to buy at all, you're automatically
set up as that.
They don't even bother distinguishing the difference, yet they tell everybody that they're not an MLM.
And why they do that is because, you know, this desire to rebrand themselves so that they don't get the, the bad rap that the typical MLM people do. But that's just like a pig saying he's a horse. You know, he's still a pig is still a pig no matter what he claims to be.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you hear that because how can you possibly not be? You're the same.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand. Just because you claim you're not doesn't mean you're not.
That's exactly right.
It's interesting. But, you know, there are companies, if you look into and this is the Buyers Club thing that I'm talking about, and I keep saying Mary Kay just because I happen to know a couple people that sell it who and I really like their foundation, and so I use it. But their products, they really can sell it at retail and make money. I think their markup is 50%, and so they really can make a decent amount of money in that perspective. But then they have to have a lot of inventory, so I think there's issues there. So I know that there's other issues there with. And it's really hard to sell a bottle of nail polish, you know, or foundation. It's hard to make money as a onesie, twosie type person.
That's right. You're dealing with an area. The typical MLM sells pills, potions, and lotions, and those are the kinds of things that you can make unique claims for them, and it's easy to be competitive because some of those things are so expensive to begin with. But if I may, most of them are quite expensive. It would be like a farmer who sells apples, and let's say that most farmers are selling them for $20 a bushel, but he sells them for $100 a bushel. And people say, well, why are your apples selling for $100? He says, well, because they have blue stripes on them. And so, so what? Well, the ones with blue stripes will cure or prevent any disease under the sun. And that's the way many of these MLM products are sold.
They probably buy it for the same price that their competitors are buying it for.
Well, they have some magic ingredient they got from one of the rainforests in the Amazon or something. Typically, that's the kind of thing that they'll do. And Mary Kay isn't quite so much that way. They have some legitimate products that for some reason they are able to be competitive on a lot of them, and they may not be as heavily leveraged as some of the others. But I've looked at their compensation plan, and I see nothing in their compensation plan that tells me they're not typical MLM.
That's interesting. Well, what do you think about all these success tools that they try to sell to people? And we talked about it a little bit with the tapes and things that Amway sells, but there's other things like T-shirts and marketing materials, logo-based merchandise, and I've had people show me that stuff, and the prices on those are pretty high retail or solid retail prices, shall I say, and they're selling them to distributors as tools for marketing in their business. And I think there's such a huge in-base of, they have a huge market just to sell stuff to. You know, they're distributors.
Right.
They're making a lot of money on their market base, which is their distributors.
That's true. And there's various kinds of sales tools that are sold and which are very profitable for the companies. And they do definitely cut into profits, if there are any profits that the participants might make, because they have to buy those tools to, quote, be successful. That's true.
So where is the legal framework in this? What's going on with the government agencies and the consumer protection agencies as far as protecting people against legitimate pyramid schemes that claim that they're MLMs?
Yeah, that's a good question. I need to take you back to 1979 when you had Amway was being sued by the prosecuted as a pyramid scheme, and there were other issues there, but basically, the Amway legal team outsmarted the FTC officials, and the FTC officials agreed that Amway was not a pyramid scheme so long as they retail legitimate products, and they had some retail rules that were enforced, such as 70% of the products had to be consumed, and they had to have 10 customers, and so they had to have a refund program, and so they were let off the hook. Well, the Amway rules were never enforced, but that ruling opened the Pandora's box, and then these things just developed by the hundreds. these companies will say, well, we follow the Amway rules. Nobody ever enforces them, but they claim that they're, you know, that they're following those rules. So the enforcement community has not been equal to the challenge, and the FTC has particularly bowed out.
Well, they bowed. Don't get me started on some of that stuff, because I know that I've been pretty active in working with some of the bank stuff that just with my company and things, and they pretty much let everything go on right now, in my opinion.
But in particular in this field, because I'm going to take you to 2000. What happened in the year 2000? You remember how close the election was between Bush and Gore?
Yeah.
Well, Bush would not have won that election without Amway.
Oh, really? What happened there?
The Amway family was the second largest financial contributor to his campaign and helped him carry the Midwestern states. And he thanked the Amway family by appointing the head of the Amway legal team to chair the Federal Trade Commission.
Oh, interesting.
And virtually all prosecutions of pyramid schemes came to a halt.
And that's why it's such a booming. I mean, on top of the economy, it's just been booming. The MLM business, there's a lot of MLMs. In the last, wouldn't you say, since the early 90s, MLMs are just exploding?
Well, they particularly do well during a recession because they promise people relief from financial distress. And we now have, I have personally analyzed over 500 multi-level marketing companies. And I know that there are at least that many additional ones that I have not yet studied.
And MLMs are the one industry right now that have really grown during this latest recession, this bad economy. And I think that really shows why. You know, the MLM,
that's right.
It's booming.
Yep, that's right. And you have some companies that are targeting specific populations. Herbalife, for example, is targeted at the Latino community, and there's a great deal of controversy over that right now in the investment community, because there was a person by the name of Bill Ackman, who was a hedge fund manager, who bet $1 billion of his own money against
Herbalife. I saw that. Yeah, and then he got squeezed out, and he didn't win.
Well, he hasn't lost yet, though. It's still going on.
Okay.
But he bet $1 billion of his own money that this company would fold.
Did he short the market?
Oh, yes. But he assumed that if his information, his research, were brought before the public and before the regulators, that it would be shut down. And, of course, unfortunately, that didn't happen. They are investigating, and the Latino community, some of the leaders, have insisted that the SEC take a closer look at Herbalife. So that's happening right now, and that's causing some concern amongst the MLM community, because if Herbalife falls, then of course many other companies are doing the same thing. They become culpable.
Well, it would totally change the market, right? Just like Bush putting his Amway person on the panel, that stopped all.
So what cases did come against multi-level marketing companies for the next few years was initiated by the states. The FTC might have gotten involved, but it was initially initiated primarily by the states. And so, but what happened recently that was really unfortunate is that the Federal Trade Commission proposed a rule, a business opportunity rule, that would require those selling business opportunities to disclose certain information, such as average income, references. They'd have to... there'd be a waiting period and so forth. Just good consumer protection. But the MLM industry, with the Direct Selling Association, which is the lobbying arm, DSA, they just screamed bloody murder, and they spent over $4 million to get people to write in and complain, including over 80 congressmen, that it was too broad and that they should exempt MLM. And so the FTC caved, and now they have the business opportunity rule, but multi-level marketing is exempt from having to comply.
Are there any states where it's illegal?
Yes, there are several states where it's illegal, but it's not enforced. There are states which have laws against endless chain recruitment schemes, or states that have laws against unfair and deceptive practices. And technically, MLM is illegal even at the Federal Trade Commission level, because the Federal Trade Commission was set up to protect against unfair and deceptive practices in the marketplace. Well, I've written a book, Multi-Level Marketing Unmasked, which proves basically that multi-level marketing is an unfair and deceptive practice. And I've gone so far as to challenge the regulators at the federal and state level that if any of them can identify any business package business opportunity that's more unfair and deceptive than multi-level marketing, I'll take $10,000 out of my retirement and donate it to their favorite charity.
And why do you think that is? That's because they, when you're being sold on the business opportunity, you're being sold that you can make a lot of money, and that's just what they do. And if you're being sold that you can make a lot of money, but 99.9% of the, or 99.7% in most cases don't, that in and of itself is should
unfair.
Be, yeah, that should be illegal,
that's
right
unfair.
There.
That's
on, yeah, that's deceptive practice. Now, if they said, if they said, this is a good product that you can get into a buyer's club with and save money and pay for your own products, that would be different. Or if they said, this is a good opportunity for the people that, you know, for the 0.03% of the people who really work hard and have all these things, but in general for the rest of the people, it's not. Nobody would ever do that, but
none of them would admit to that, but that's what they should be telling people. This is a good opportunity for the first ones in. The rest of you, pay your money, but don't expect to make any money. That's what they should be telling people.
Well, one thing that I saw, well, if they say it's a buyer's club and you can save money this way and blah, 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 I would think that a legitimate company would be fine with making money just from people buying their products. You know, if you
Nothing wrong with a buyer's club, and there's plenty of those on the Internet. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Just to help
that's
people.
Not what they do.
They sell the business family. Opportunity, which is, that's their product, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You have, I was reading through some of your stuff, and you surveyed 60 presidents of the largest MLMs. What was the outcome of that, and did you get them all to respond?
Well, no. I got a half dozen that began to respond, but it's usually a lower-level person. But when it went up to the top people, they would not release information that I requested. So I wound up getting none of the presidents of those companies accepted my challenge to prove that they were not a pyramid scheme.
Nobody would, even though you have all these books and your website and everything else. Your website, which I want listeners to be able to understand, has analysis from over 500 MLMs. Can you explain a little bit what your website does and how it can help people?
Well, I have a number of different tools on the website that will guide people. And first of all, the most important is that they take any multi-level marketing company that they're recruited for, and that they get hold of their compensation plan and run it through my five-step do-it-yourself evaluation. And if they do that, they'll find out the truth about the company, whether or not it's going to be profitable to them. And of course, in every case, they'll find out that it satisfies those red flags that are going to warn them against participation. Then I have a number of other tools, such as guides for tracking profits, actions that victims can take to get their money back, 12 steps for deprogramming victims. I get a lot of family members that plead for help in deprogramming some family member that's caught up in this. I have studies on the statistics of MLM compared with gambling and compared with other small businesses. The MLM people will say that you have a high loss rate in any small business, but there's no comparison. You might have 30, 40% of people that make money in a typical standard small business, but you don't have a 99% loss rate.
Well, 99.7% loss rate is pretty phenomenal.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's just at a whole nother level.
That's right. And then I have reports on MLM deceptions. I have reports on, excuse me, I also have reports, and I know you're going to do this on another program, on income and business opportunities that are legitimate so that people that get into this and want to find something legitimate, I have one article called 1,357 Ways to Make More Money Than in Multi-Level Marketing.
Yeah, and I'm going to have you back for another program because I'd really like to talk about that, because I think, especially in this economy, people are seriously looking for ways they can make money and do something legitimate. And the last thing you want to do when you don't have much money and your family really wants money or needs money to pay for clothing and food and mortgage and what have you, is to lose money on a business opportunity that you,
right.
It just wrecks your attitude isn't so hot, right? And so if we can give people opportunities to make legitimate money, that would be great. So I want to have you back for another program. I'm sorry, keep going. You were talking. Yes.
I'd be happy to do that. I just want to add one more thing to your earlier question about what's on the website. I also have a lot of information on legal issues and complaints that have been filed against multi-level marketing companies by the with the FTC, and I have a whole book on that proves that MLM is an unfair and deceptive practice, and then another book on the regulatory capture, that is the MLM industry or the Federal Trade Commission has been captured in a sense by the DSA MLM lobby to basically do their bidding and exempt MLM from having to reveal anything. So there's a range of things to help consumers and to help attorneys and regulators do their job.
Well, I think what's so interesting and telling is, you know, for me being an educated person like yourself, it's you hear the selling of it and you hear the story and you hear their whole marketing pitch and it really makes sense. But then once you dig in and you realize that 99.7% of the people fail, then there has to be something wrong. And because I know the people who are involved in good are a lot of them are really good people. And I personally love some of the products, and I'll continue using them. But when there's a 99.7% failure rate, something is wrong, and there can't be. There can't be a huge amount of, I mean, it's just telling right there. 99% of the people, 99.7% of the people fail. Almost end of story, right? Okay, now let's figure out why. Well, there's something inherently wrong here, and I don't care who argues against me. If there's 99.7% of the people fail, it's just end of story, people.
That's right. And your question, what is the fundamental flaw? Well, the fundamental flaw is the assumption by all multi-level marketing companies of an infinite market, this endless chain of recruitment. You can recruit somebody, they recruit somebody without limit. That goes on forever. Anybody who knows anything about statistics knows that after so many iterations, you've reached the population of the earth. It simply that makes no sense at all.
Well, not to interrupt, but I think there could be a legitimate case for some of these businesses that have really good products if they would just up their commission to the people actually selling it, and change their percentages. But then again, that would change their whole business model. Go ahead.
That's right. If they did, and I do have in my book on multi-level marketing unmasked, I have a section on what a good MLM would look like, and you would. That's exactly right. You would give the people who sold the product the bulk of the commissions, and you would not require that they buy anything in order to continue with the company to qualify for commissions. And you would, when you put those protections in place, then it wouldn't be multi-level marketing anymore. It would be legitimate direct selling.
Yeah, and then that would be the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think there would be some ways that they could do some kind of combo thing where they can use the benefits of getting it out to the marketplace in an inexpensive way, benefit the people who are actually setting up the distribution channels, and compensate the people who are selling in higher numbers.
They could do that if they did it follow the legitimate direct selling model, but when they do the endless chain recruitment with no recognition of market realities. And let me give you an example. If you have 100,000 people in a city, why do you need 100,000 distributors?
You don't want 100,000 distributors.
That's absurd. Maybe five or ten would be plenty, and every additional one is less of an opportunity. So So allowing you to recruit anybody and everybody, and everybody to do the same, very soon you've drained the market. And so it's inherently flawed, and ultimately everybody except those that are at the top of the pyramid are going to lose money.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show, John. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to put your information on our website, give people a link back to your website so they can get more information. And I definitely am going to invite you back for another show to talk about small business opportunity that people can do to really help themselves with this economy.
I'll be happy to do that. And I thank you very much for this opportunity to share these things.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Lots of people participate or have participated in an MLM business at some point. I need to tell you that there really are products I love that are sold by a few of these companies. I said it earlier in the show. I personally use Nerium, some Mary Kay products, and I love the body wrap from It Works. But I also think that people need to approach these companies with the right expectations. If you want to become a distributor, it doesn't need to be a disaster. But if you're not one of the first ones in, don't expect to make a ton with these businesses. If you really like the products, it would be better to approach it as if you are a member of a buyer's club. Use any sales you do get to offset your own product costs. This can be good, but again, don't expect to become rich. You will likely end up disappointed. If you are an entrepreneur, yes, you can make a lot of money with this business model, but is this really what you want to do? Aren't there different models where everyone can win or be fairly compensated for their efforts? Be aware of this. Don't take advantage of people. There's just too many losers nowadays hurting others for their own gain. Do the right thing. Build a lasting and sustainable company that builds wealth for you and provides jobs where people can provide for their families and make a livable wage. Okay, I'll step off my soapbox, but if you really want good information on over 500 companies in the MLM industry, visit Dr. Taylor's website at mlmthetruth.com. You will also be able to access a host of other good information about the industry. And he has a really good resource with lots of ideas for people who want to start a home-based business. These are opportunities where you have a much better chance at earning a real income. Okay, that's it for now. Have a wonderful day.